Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 5. I'm going to let Rhonda read the scripture, and then I'll share.
And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, "We are sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live." There were also some who said, "We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine." There were also those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And indeed we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, "Each of you is exactly usury of his brother." So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, "According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren? Or should they be sold to us?" Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, "What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also 100 of their money, and the grain, the new wine, and the oil that you have charged them."
Okay, what we've been talking about, rebuilding our lives and this idea of restoring Jerusalem. And remember, the problem that they were having was that Tobiah and Sanballat was the problem, remember? From outward, Tobiah and Sanballat was trying to destroy them, trying to beat down all that they were trying to do in restoring Jerusalem. Nehemiah had been called to restore Jerusalem. And so Sanballat and outwardly and verbally attacked them and couldn't stop the work. But now the enemy's working and he comes from inward. Now stoppage, the work has stopped in chapter 5 because of the inward attack. And it's the people. The people are arguing amongst each other. And it had the power to stop the work. And so that's what we have to be aware of, is what's going on in us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, what's happening in us. He says, "And there was a great outcry," verse 1, "outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, 'We are sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live.'" They were arguing amongst each other because they weren't having enough to eat. And so what happened is strife broke out within the community. And see, that can happen in a church. People can start to pick at each other whenever there's a real change coming about and taking place. And so that's what we have to be aware of, that what's going on inside of us. Have any of you ever, when I was a kid, my sisters had this mirror. And it was a mirror, one side, you'd look into it, and then the other side, it really magnified everything. And I remember looking into that mirror, you know, and just magnifying everything. Whenever I had a zit, I'd go check it out. And so they always looked in this mirror before they would leave the house. You know, because, you know, you could do your eyes and you could, you know, you could see every, you know, mess up and everything that needed to be fixed, you know. And so that's what Nehemiah was doing. He was holding up a mirror and magnifying what was going on in the community, so to speak. Did you all look in the mirror this morning? Folks, we need, you know, we want to make sure our stuff's in place, right? We don't want a bunch of stuff hanging, right? But you know what? Where we fail is we fail to look in the mirror of God's Word. Because that reveals what's really going on inside of us. We look past the external and not at the internal. We look at the outward and not the inward. We look at the seen and not the unseen. But it's the unseen, the things that we try to hide, that are stopping the growth and stopping the rebuilding of our life. And you know what that's called? Sin. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is sin. We're going to look at four areas on how to deal with the sin in our life. And that's what was going on in chapter 5. Sin. The Jews were charging the people, their brothers and sisters, for the goods, for food, because there was a famine. They were charging them money and charging them interest. Charging them interest to feed their families. And the people that couldn't repay them, they would take their children and do things with them that they shouldn't have been doing. And put them in, make them slaves and all kind of things. In Leviticus 25, you can go there later, it talks about the sin of charging your brothers and sisters interest. Sin was taking place within the community. Within. And so that's what we have to look at. What's going on in us? If we're going to really rebuild our lives, we have to know what's going on in us. And you know what? We have to be willing to deal with it. Number one, you have to own it. You have to own it. And you can't excuse it. You cannot excuse it. God loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. And that is the truth. Now look at this. Look at Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said to them, each of you is exacting usury, which has to do with charging interest, from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now, indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. You see, what happens is when you hold up the mirror and you begin to expose someone's sin, they get angry. Sometimes they don't want to say anything. But folks, this is the message we need to hear. If we're going to really be effective, and we're going to be the church, and we're going to really change and really become and do God's will, this is the first area we got to begin with. We got to deal with the sin in our life. God looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16. The Bible says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He's always looking at your heart, what's going on in you. Just like what was going on in the city of Jerusalem. We cannot excuse our sin. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, just like Nehemiah, he was speaking to the officials, the governors, and the city officials, and he was exposing their sin. He was holding up that mirror, magnifying it. Stephen did the same thing in Acts chapter 7. The Sanhedrin, the counselors, all of them. He said, "You stiff-necked people, you resist the Holy Spirit." He said, "You murdered Jesus." And they all held their hands over their ears, and they didn't want to hear what he was saying. And he began to preach and speak to them, and they all got angry. The Bible says they gnashed their teeth. They got angry because he was holding up the mirror and exposing what was going on in them. And the Bible says they stoned him to death, because he was showing them what was going on, what was really going on. See, folks don't want to deal with what's really going on. And when you really show people, they get religious. Come on, am I making sense? So we got to get beyond this. He says, "You stiff-necked." You know what stiff-necked means? That's when an oxen, when they would try to put the yoke on an oxen, they would stiffen their neck up so you couldn't get it around their neck. And they would be stubborn because they didn't want to do the work. They wanted to do their own thing. And that's what happens with people. When they're stiff-necked, they want to do their own thing. And they resist what the Holy Spirit is trying to do within them. And it affects everything. You see that? If we're going to do what God is calling us to do, we've got to deal with what's going on in us. We got to own it and stop making excuses for it. Psalms 32, verse 5, real quick. David sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery, then turned around and killed her husband, Uriah. Manslaughter. Look what happened when he tried to cover his sin. Psalms 32, verse 3. "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Selah. Think about that. He was constantly meditating on the drudgery and the weight of what he was trying to cover and trying to hide. Folks, we got to stop trying to hide our sin and deal with it. Own it, right? Own it. Now look at this. Stop making excuses. "Well, I'm just that way. Well, I have a problem with women, but I'm just that way. You know, it's just something, it's just me." Or I have an addiction. You know, I'm addicted to that, and it just runs in my family. Well, I got a word for you. If you got an addiction, make it a benediction. That means blessing at the end, right? Give that thing a benediction, right? Now look here. If we deal with the sin, folks, now we can really rebuild. Now look at this. So it talks about in Ezekiel 14:6, it says, "Repent." That's what we need to do. We need to repent and turn. That's what the word repent in the Old Testament means. It's the Hebrew word shove, and it means to repent. It means to turn away. In other words, when we identify the sin in our life, we need to turn from it. Right? We need to stop it. And stop doing it. Am I making sense? In other words, you see it and you stop it. You don't slow down. Some people, "Well, I'm going to slow down. We're not going to have sex. You know, we're not married, but we're going to stop having sex 3 times a week. We're going to maybe just once in a while. We're going to slow down." No, you turn from it. You stop. right? You stop it. You turn from it. Now look, verse 11, Nehemiah 5, verse 11. Even this day, restore now to them, even this day, today, now's when you deal with it. This day, now. You don't slow down your sin. You stop it now. Are you hearing me today? Is this making sense? If we're going to really rebuild our life, we have to be willing to stop it now. But some people just want to slow down and, you know, work their way into it, stopping it. That's like this lawyer. He was going through this city, and he comes to a stop sign, and he kind of slows down, and he almost stops and keeps moving and just kept rolled right on through. Police officer comes behind him, pulls him over, and the police officer says to him, he rolls down the way, he says, I want to see your license and registration. The lawyer goes, why? He goes, because you didn't come to a complete stop at the stop sign. He goes, well, you know, I slowed down. He goes, I think I stopped. He goes, I stopped good enough. He goes, I think I did. He goes, you know, he goes, how can you prove that I didn't come to a full stop? He goes, can you really? He goes, if you can prove to me that slowing down and a stop, there's a difference between that, he goes, then I will give you my license and registration. And the police officer says, okay, get out of the car. So the lawyer gets out of the car. Police officer has a nightstick on the side, and he takes out his nightstick. He starts beating him in the back of the neck with that nightstick. He says, now, do you want me to slow down or do you want me to stop? You see, that's the way it is, folks. When you stop, things get better. You just keep slowing down, you're going to keep getting your whooped. Am I making sense? Now, look at this. God is not keeping sex from you. He's keeping sex for you. You see that? God doesn't want to keep, because he knows if you get involved in sex outside of marriage, it's going to destroy your life. Huh? But he knows if you stay within the boundaries, it can be a good thing. So, what have we got so far? Stop making excuses, right? Turn from your sin. Number three, you got to make things right. Verse 11. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and the grain, the new wine, the oil that you have charged them. Return it. Now, I remember when I was in high school, I've told you all about my Barracuda I used to have, but when I was getting ready to graduate, I had a MGB sports car, two-seater, and it had wire wheels. And, you know, I was going to be a college boy, you know, I wanted to look like a college boy, drive a sports car. You know, I was going to go to Sinclair. I went to Sinclair for a year. But anyways, I had this sports car. Well, I hit a hole and it had wire wheels. I hit a hole and it bent the wheel. And it would wobble. Well, there was a guy that dealt with these kind of parts and these kind of cars. And so I went to him and I said, look, my wheel's bent. Do you have an extra wire wheel? He says, yeah, I got one. It's $80. I said, I only have $40. He said, well, just give me the $40 and, you know, pay the rest later. I said, really? He put it on for me and everything. I said, man. So you know what I did? I never went back. Yeah, I sold my car. Well, but now listen. You know, that bothered me. And I wasn't even a believer then. But I became a believer, all right? And 8 years after that happened, here I am in Holiday Health Spa in the steam room. Taking a sauna, you know, here's the guy that I got the wheel. I said, hey, you're the guy that I got the wire wheel from. I said, I owe you $40. He says, no, you don't. He goes, I forgot all about that. I said, man, I couldn't. I really want to pay you for that. But it was because of my conviction. Am I making sense? See, you deal with it. Come on. And you know, I went to my reunion last year. And you know, I'm just getting transparent with you guys. When I was in high school, I wasn't a believer. And you know, I there was a girl that I just kind of, yeah. I'm not telling you the rest, but yeah. And so I thought, when I go, if I see her, I am going to apologize to her. Come on now, am I making sense? I really had that in my heart. I was going to do it, and I would have. I still want to do it someday. Because, folks, we need to make things right. When we sin and we hurt people, you see that? And so if I'm going to be effective, I want to make sure I get things right with people. Because that's really what matters, is your relationships with people and your relationship with God. Is this making sense? So deal with it and get it right. Make it right. Go to them and make it right. Now, unforgiveness is one of the biggest problems in the church. It's the number one sin in the church. Folks, if you got a problem with somebody, get it right in here, right? Because we're going somewhere. We're not going to take over anything if we don't deal with these things. And you're not going to build anything. You're going to keep repeating the same thing. You're going to end up 80 years old doing the same thing if you don't deal with these things. So, make it right. Now, number four, make it public. Yeah, make it public. Confess it. That doesn't mean you have to stand up here and tell everybody. But confess it to someone. Confess your sin to someone. Now, look at this. Go with me to James. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses, sin, to one another. And pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. Healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now listen. You see, when you tell God and you ask God to forgive you, you know, you confess and you there's forgiveness between you and God, but no healing. When you confess it to someone, healing begins. Well, I can't trust anybody. Yes, you can. There's somebody in your life you can trust to confess your sin. And healing begins. Now you're really going to be able to rebuild and do something in your life. Am I making sense? Is this making sense today? Because if you don't confess it to someone, that healing can't take place. This is significant, folks. This is significant to the really, to truly rebuilding your life. What's going on inside? I like what Rick Warren says. He says, only what really makes you sick is your secrets. Your secrets. That's what keeps you sick, is your secrets. The Bible says in Hebrews that there is nothing hidden from God. Nothing. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Nothing is hidden. Boy, that puts the fear of God in me. You see? Everything. He sees it. So he says in his word, we need to confess it to some. Healing begins. You see, if we'll do this, boy, you get happy. You get free. You really begin to experience freedom. And the Christian life is something you want to be a part of and enjoy and grow and mature and become all that God created you to be. Am I making sense? But if we're always trying to hide something and it's always, you know, no, that right there will keep you and you won't be rebuilding anything but more problems. And those problems are affecting people that mean something to you. Am I making sense? Well, that's all I got for you today. I got some more, but we're going to wait till next week. But I do want to ask you, and I want to share with you, if God has shown you some sin in your life, deal with it. Find somebody you can share it with. Talk with somebody. Talk to somebody. I'm telling you, this is where freedom is. This is the power of God. This is how we rebuild our lives. Really, right? It's not fake and phony religious. It's really getting something done. So, briefly, what did we come up with? Number one, what? I want to see if you're all listening. Own it, right? Stop justifying it. Stop excusing it. Number two, what? Turn, right? Turn away from it. Number three, what? Huh? Make it right. Deal with it, right? If you have to go to somebody, do it. Do this. Number four, huh? Confess. This is good stuff. Aren't you glad you came to church today? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup, said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm going to tell you what. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus can't handle. One drop of the blood of Jesus can annihilate all the sin in the world. See, when we participate in this, man, we are connecting with something here. We are celebrating, right? And people are going to do us wrong, aren't they? But when we understand what we're participating in here, we can celebrate. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've done to us. Amen? So you come to the Lord's table.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save
us. You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.